Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Marcia coming to you from the Global Vision for Living today. Without a vision, you're going to be breathing, but you might not necessarily be living. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining in. We have had so much fun on our 21 Ways to Get to Know God series. Some are saying, Doctor, why do you guys always talk about God? Well, who else are we going to talk about? We can't talk about the broke. We could, but it wouldn't get us anywhere. We can't talk about those killing each other. That's not going to get us anywhere. We can't talk about having a good time because who knows really what constitutes a good time. So what else are we going to talk about? Our moniker is the Bible, and this is public, so we do have to watch what we say. But all of you know that whatever we talk about, it involves the true God of the universe, who Psalms 83:18 says he is the supreme God. And most of you, if you don't know it now, we just said that. The one and only true living God, the creator God, his name is Jehovah. Thank you for tuning in. We have been on a serious roll talking about God. Who is he? What is he doing up there? And how long has he been up there? I mean, we've had some good times. But today, the topic is, what does the future hold for me? You know, I'm glad to have this topic because this morning, someone sent me something on Adele. She's on the November 2021 cover of Vogue magazine, a billion-dollar magazine. And what's interesting, she is a multimillionaire. And I'm going somewhere with this. She's worth over $200 million. She has homes in England, London. She has a home in Beverly Hills. She said she had to move to Los Angeles because the homes are too expensive there in London. So she's here now. But the point that I guess they wanted me to see and read and hear was that she's not happy. Wow. She gives the roller coaster viewpoint of how she started off and what she had to gain in her early life and where she's at now. But she said none of that bought her happiness. She said she's in the gym most of the time. She's lost a lot of weight. But she woke up one morning saying, what am I doing? What am I living for? What future do I have for myself and my son? She built this multi-million dollar home in Beverly Hills for her husband to live in one of them so he could be close by. Oh, my God, the thinking of mankind. But money, she says, is not the answer. She says fame is not the answer. Everywhere I go, I've got to have bodyguard, I've got to have this. She says, oh, what did I get into? So she has some good commentary for those that have a lot of money. You're rich, you're famous, but you have some problems with your future. She's asking, what does the future hold for me? And this is our topic this morning. So thank you for whoever sent that. And I see we have Colonel Harrison, Dr. William Harrison with us. You know, you guys like our attention. Thank God we have it. Because no man is an island, and the scripture says, above everything else, get an understanding. I don't care where you're coming from. I don't care what your race is. Whatever money you have in the bank, get an understanding on whatever it is you do and whatever it is you're trying or you are talking about. God bless you all. What does the future hold for me? The news is not nice to those who have placed their trust in an unseen God. World reports of craziness, bloodshed, and fear have paralyzed many into feeling that there's no hope for a bright tomorrow. Is there hope for God's goodness to be manifested in your lifetime? Let's stop talking about 2050. You know, a lot of people want to say, well, you know, next week is going to be okay. Well, yeah, next year it's going to be okay. You have no inkling. I hope you're not trying to use a crystal ball to say, well, tomorrow you're going to be happy.
next week, you know, you're going to be a multimillionaire. Maybe next month this, next year that. But we want to get our expression and our answers from a living and a true God. What does the future hold? If you don't know what the future holds for you, you're certainly an unhappy person today. You are certainly unhappy. Like someone going to college, they know at the end of 4 years they're going to have that piece of paper. People are going to be coming to the universities the 6 months before they even graduate because they're keeping tabs on, well, who's this guy? Who's this? They said that Obama had that experience. They came after him before he graduated. I know that's with me too. People watch and see who is going to be the next mover and shaker in the city and in the town, state. They want to know what is actually going on. But is that always good? People want to know, what does the future hold for me? Colonel Harrison, I know you're minister there in the D.C. metropolitan area. You have members, I'm sure, that have come to you through the years, no matter what they're sitting there hearing. You have to look at their conduct to see really where they're at. Have you experienced people coming to you talking about, well, what does the future hold? You know, you're standing here, you're talking about God. God is coming, gone. He's billions of years old. That's him. What about me? What does the future hold for me? What can I do to have a good future? Have you experienced that with your friends, colleagues, members, membership? Have you experienced that kind of talk?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Capentino, listening audience. Yes, I have experienced that, Doc, and more so since the pandemic of the past year and a half than before, because people are experiencing fear and anxiety and uncertainty, and this pandemic has really taken a lot of people by fear. And so, therefore, those who know God, still believe and trust in God, of course, but sometimes a little fear has set in, but God didn't give us the spirit of fear. So I just tell them that, you know, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. God is still God of the universe, God Jehovah, Psalm 83:18, God. We have to continue to just seek God, trust in him. He said he will lead and direct our path. And so don't fear, because God didn't give mankind, those who know who he is, the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind.
Let me ask that question again. You've answered it in the way that you have said, but if someone really mentally challenged, they're upset, their life hasn't gone the way they wanted it to go, they are wondering how they're going to be able to manage in the upcoming weeks, months, or years with all of this talk of famine and feast and so forth and so on and so on. Let me clarify that question again. When people come to you and they are concerned about their future, you tell them something about God, not sure if they even know about that God. Most churches don't mention the name Jehovah in there, because that has a connotation with Jehovah's Witnesses, and then they got to stand up there and say one or two things about whatever the doctrine is to corral their membership back into their common sense, commonality. So if a person is, they're down and out, and they are unsure of what the future is going to hold for them, this topic is, what does the future hold? If we say, God said this, God said that, do they know God? And we're on this 21 ways to get to know God. So we don't, and I know you don't, I've known you a long time, we don't give people a pie in the sky with some, because if we don't know, they're sitting and talking to somebody that perhaps they should not, they should question that. But if you go to some faiths that put their life on the line on a daily basis, they're not playing. They don't wear bulletproof vests. They say, if Jehovah don't do it, it ain't going to get done. So when a person is concerned about their future, let me paraphrase that again. What should we tell them? What do anyone in charge of human cartel, what do they tell people when they want to know, I'm working, I got money to make, I got all the food I need to eat, you know, I'm driving this good car, you know, I have friends, you know, I can do what I want, you know, I'm talking day, I'm talking night, oh my God, yes. What do we tell people when midnight comes and they're concerned? My future, because this show is a global vision. We're visionaries for the people, for sound living. So do we tell them, okay, you want to know what your future holds for you? Let's open the Bible up. You could, there are several scriptures we could use, Jeremiah 10, we could use Revelation 21, 1 through 4, we could use Hebrews 10. Hey, we know what we're talking about from our experience, but what does God say about man's future? That's the first thing we ask, oh, you know, I'm sad, I don't know what my future is going to hold. Then our statement is, well, what does God say about your future? Uh-oh, they don't know. You meet them door to door, bam, you drop that on them. Well, what does God say? What we think and say and want for our future is based out of carnality, because the Bible says it does not depend on man to direct his own steps. That's Jeremiah. So we can't say, well, I'm going to do this, okay, and that's going to happen. I'm going to do this, and that's going to turn out this way. I'm going to go to school 4 years, and I'm going to have this kind of job. I'm going to have this career. You know, I'm going to be, oh, this and that and three bag of chips. I know you and I, when someone asks, what does the future hold? Then, bam, step out of it. What does God say? We don't say, oh, well, what does the Bible? You know they're not reading it. They come in there to hear somebody else talk about it, but they're not necessarily reading it. What does God say about your future? Is that the way you go with the people that you meet, Colonel Harrison, that might be interested in that? Or do you stand and tell them something about you ought to do this, you ought to do that? But if someone's interested in the future, ain't nothing I can do, nothing you can do. We can talk. But when we tell them, go to the Bible, I didn't create you, God did. Oh, they would just fall out. Well, I didn't create you. I'm not the creator of the universe. God is, and his name is, and then you go to Psalm 8:18. What do you tell them, or where do you send them when they come crying like I don't know what? I don't know what their future holds. I know you know that answer because you told me that. Do you tell them to go to God? God knows your future. Is that something you tell them, or how do you get around that when they want to know, what does the future hold for me? How dare you ask a human being anything crazy like that? How do you get out of that, Colonel Harrison? Get out of it and then get in it.
I share two primary scriptures with them. I counsel with them. They have resources. They have material possessions. They have food, and they're not destitute. You know, they're not homeless. I share two encouraging scriptures with them, and then I explain them to them. The first one is Jeremiah 29:11. God tells us that he knows the thoughts that he think toward us. Says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give us a future and a hope. So God already has our future plan. So that's why we have to seek God, get to know who he is, and connect with him, and be led by the revelation spirits that we receive. And then as we fast forward, and I just want to share another one with us quickly, we find in John chapter 15:11, he says, the only way that our joy can be full is that we love him and keep his commandments. So God loves us. He wants us to love him. He wants us to depend on him, want us to rely on him, and want us to trust in him after we get to know who he is.
That sounds wonderful, but we're going to go back to that question. What does the future hold for me? You have a lot of people that are not reading the Bible. They're not in church. Church is shut down. charlatans that left them. Thank God they have shut some of them down. Hopefully they will never return. We know all of that. We are living that. The rich, the famous, and the poor man is committing suicide at rocket rates. I know I sent you that article. Children, 18 years old, teenagers committing suicide because they are all, every report said, they did not know where they were headed in life. They were concerned about their future. So that means God's representative on earth has got to, if you hear that, if they come to you, if there's an example of someone living their life like they don't have a future, that's a serious way to be. And, of course, they are looking for that help. So they are not going to think about their future. They are not going to stop right now and run pick up a Bible. They've got to be led to that. I know when the apostles were out there talking about the one that was crucified, they went door to door. See, now I'm going somewhere with this. If we're talking about helping people with their future, you got to meet them where they're at. Most may not get up and go to the liquor store and start talking. We already found out they are not going to go in any place amongst all strangers and stuff. Said, oh, yeah, you know, hi, you guys. My name is so-and-so. I tried to kill myself last night. I can tell you that right now. Even today, people will go into various places, and you are not going to get them to confess that. Scripture says, confess your sins to God. They are not going to go into places like that because they may not necessarily think that God is there. Oh, I'm here for this. I'm here for that. And that's it. Their future. People want to know, what does the future hold for them? Well, if I say you got to seek God, well, number one, I'm going to have to tell them. We have to show them how. I'm going to have to say, you know, if you need some help, I'll come over one day a week. And if I don't come, I'm going to send some just as smart that have already gone through the scripture of the Holy Scriptures by this 18 God. I'm not going to the liquor store and start talking. I may pass by there and give a witness, but that is not what I would do. So right now, we're right back to the question, and we've done a good job, you guys, so far. I see your hand, but hold it. What does the future hold for me? This is what the future holds for you. Future is governed by none other, the future of mankind, by the God who said he is the creator, Jehovah God. He is the one. That God is the one that has your future in his heart and in his hand. So you can come to me and I can create, you know, some nice sounding scenario about that. But the God of the universe is the one that holds the future. So you made something out of this statement, seek God. Now, that's great. But then if we're going to say that, we've got to tell them where to go in. I'm not going to wake up in the morning, it's Sunday, and start running around out there and say, oh, I'm going to go over here because I'm going to seek God. Oh, I'm going to go here, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to watch the streets. I'm going to watch people walking around with the Bible, because if I want to know anything about God, God is not a hard God. He's going to make sure if a person is really interested in their future, somebody's going to show up. That ram in the bush, I'm not going to have to go hunt down no ram. The ram in the bush is there. Somebody walking around. If any of us really want to know what the future holds, the first thing, and Colonel Harrison has covered this, number one on our 21 ways to get to know God, there's 21. Stop trying to escape that. A bowl of collard greens is not going to help you now. Okay, if you really want to get to know the true God of the universe, number one, you got to pray. What does the future hold for me? You got to get down on your knees and say, God, I don't know you. I have heard a couple of names. I have been in a company of people that have talked about you, but what does the future hold? You got to get on your knees first. Colonel Harrison brought this up. You, number one, you want to know what the future holds? I can't help you. Colonel Harrison can talk. But you have got to ask the universe, ask the one that created you. Obviously, if you're alive, he had something for you to do in purpose, no matter if your daddy's in prison, mama, whatever. But first things first. You have got to pray, and Colonel Harrison has told me this on occasion. So there's no other cat in a hat, rabbit out of a hat talk. You already know that. That's why you guys by the thousands tune in. There's no joking around here. First things first, pray to God. God, call his name. He said, his son said, no one comes to him except through me, Jesus. What does the future hold? Get on your knees. Don't stand around wasting God's time. Pray for him to revelate you. God, I'm tired of just getting up, eating and sleeping. I'm not happy. You got to go to God. The one that created you, go to him. Go to God and pray for him to reveal to you. And I swear, you know what? God knows the heart. If you're sincere, that ram in the bush is going to show up. Not going to be no sooner or later. God is. My father used to say he's an ever-present God. It is not no next year this, next month that. Bishop Mim said he's an ever-present. He said if you pray to him and he know that you mean business, you're going to help. You're going to get help then. A billion-plus-year-old God don't have to wait. Two more years, one more year. No, that's man telling you, in other words, he don't know. How you going to follow somebody? Don't know. You better not do it. What does your future hold for you and your family and anyone else you're interested in? Colonel Harrison, isn't that the first thing to do? Nobody's really praying at all. They're trying to figure it out. God will work it out if you let him. Isn't that the first step to take, Colonel Harrison?
Yes, prayer is the first step, Dr. Copatine, and prayer is just having a talk with God, talking to him. Let him know what your problems are, what your concerns are, what your fears are, what your anxieties are, and prayer changes things. Prayer is just having, as same as we're having this conversation over the air now, is just having a talk with God. Once you seek him, got to know who he is, then you talk to him. You have prayer with him. And if you need to cry out, as you said a moment ago, Dr. Copatine, cry out to him in agony. He hears the prayers of those who are sincere. God loves us, and he wishes none should perish. Prayer is number one.
Why should anyone be interested in what the future holds for them, Colonel Harrison? Why should we be? Why should we even care? What does the future hold?
Because the essence of our journey and our lives here on earth has been pre-planned by God. We have free will where we can choose to do certain things the way we want to do them, when we want to do them, how we want to do them. But unless we do them the way God wants us to do them, because he sets our path, he sets the path that he wants us to be on, then our joy will not be full. Our joy will be full when we pray to God, seek him, he revealed to us what it is he wants us to do, how he wants us to live our lives to help build up his kingdom here on earth, then our joy will be full. So it's important that his will in our lives be done, not our will. And so a lot of people miss that because God is the creator. He's created, made everything, human beings, everything that we see that exists. Man, yes, has made some things, but God made the heaven and the earth and the universe, and he set forth the structure before us. God sets our path. We tap into him, we have a joyful life, we have a full life, we have a happy life, and we have a prosperous life.
Well, you know, these scriptures plus the world itself shows that those that, as you say, tap in, the only way you're going to tap in, you have got to honestly want to seek God, and the way you do that is through prayer. We've always got to take this thing back to prayer, but now what you mentioned was about God and what God wants. Let me ask this question again. Each one of us is interested in what the future holds for us. We have some time now to expand on that, the future. What is the future? What? In fact, maybe we should know the definition of the word future. I'm locked in on different screens, so I can't really get to it now. But a future has reference to a person's destiny. So if we change this word, what does the destiny of our universe hold for each one of us? We're living, breathing, we're in it, we're getting up, we're going to and fro, but that has nothing to do with a future. We already have mentioned that God knows us by name. He created us. So, of course, he created us with a future in mind. But if we go all the way back, let's take it all the way back. We go all the way back to Genesis. God's purpose when he created man was to multiply, go ye therefore, multiply and become many. There are some other things that God said we will pick up at a later date. Go to Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, and you'll already have the essence of what we're saying. But God has not, he did not and has not created man to run to and fro on the earth, acting crazy, drinking, committing immorality, all manner of sin. That's the foe of Jehovah, known as Satan. So if we really want to know what the future holds, we're going to pray. We're going to ask God, what do you want me to do? What can I do? What should I be doing? Let's take it all the way back. God's purpose was for you. Our futures are bent up and tied up with what God's future and plan for the universe, plan for planet Earth. It all started in Genesis. So our future was to go forward, multiply the earth, and of course, in doing that, worship the one and only true God. So we never were created to just have a good time and eat and drink and be merry. That's New Testament talk after all was said and done. But our future is tied up in God's future. The future of God. What is the future of God? It's like me. The future of us on earth is tied up in God's edict for the creation and, of course, to worship him. Worship him. I heard that for 30 years. Every time I walked in there, worship him. You got to be holy. You got to be clean. You got to be this and that. Nobody wanted to explain all that. But worship him. So the future of mankind in the creative process was to multiply the earth, beautiful earth, and bring forth offspring to worship him. So if we don't get a chance tomorrow to worship him, then that might be a problem. But Colonel Harrison has mentioned this, and so have I. What does your future hold? Get on your knees and ask God. Don't come to me. Don't come to Colonel Harrison. How would we know? Lived 60, 70, 50, 80 years. What do somebody like that know? We're just spokesmen, spokespeople. Worship him. That's your future. Pray to know the true God and then worship him. That's your future, like it or not. Colonel Harrison, thank you again for tuning in. Hey, you guys, thank you for tuning in again to the Global Vision. We're living today. We're not just talking about today. We're talking about a vision that will carry you through for a future that is God-honoring. Tune in next week, same place, same time. God bless you. Have a great weekend.